You really need to choose a platform and start sharing your journeys in the most authentic and real way. And by doing that, you're really setting yourself up as someone who is a resource. So that's the first thing that we did in hindsight that really set us up for success in raising that 1 million. Welcome back, everyone. This is Liz Faircloth, host of the Real Estate Invest Her Show. On today's mini-sode, I'm going to be diving into how I was able to raise $1 million for a mid-sized multifamily. I'm going to give you the behind the scenes, the learned lessons, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So whether you're a newbie or whether you are a seasoned investor, this is a must listen to episode. So here's what I'm going to do here for today's mini-sode. I'm going to give you a bit of a case study of a mid-sized multifamily. It's a 50-unit apartment complex. And I want to give you first a little bit about the property. I'm going to share a little bit about how we found the property. And then I'm going to really get into breaking down the $1 million of equity that we needed to get this deal to closing. This is a really, really important property in our portfolio for me and my husband. The reason why it was a really important property was that it was an hour and a half from our house. And up to this point, we had really managed and owned property that was very close to our house. So this was a pivotal moment for us because we ended up bringing third-party management at this particular property. And we knew that we weren't going to be able to manage it ourselves. So as we kind of considered this property, we're like, okay, it's an hour and a half. We're going to have to hire a third-party manager. That was the first time we'd ever have to do this. But we were brought to it by a broker that we had a relationship with. Now, we had already closed a deal with this broker in Northeast Philadelphia, actually. And he said, listen, I got this deal. He wants $3.9 million for this, it's more loft-style apartment complex. I don't know if it's worth 3.9, but that's what he wants. And he's not budging on his number, but it's a really great deal. It's close to the train station. It's about an hour and a half from Philadelphia. So we went up there, we saw it, and you should never fall in love with a property, but we really, really got interested in this property big time because it was such a beautiful property. It had a lot of potential and it was close to the train station. It kind of checked all the boxes for us. He was asking 3.9. We offered 3.3. He said, go pound sand, which means see you later. I don't want to deal with you. 6 months later, he ended up coming back because it was a balloon type of mortgage and it was coming due. And he was going to either lose the property or he had to refinance. He had to do something to get out of it. And we were able to negotiate and get the deal underway for about $3.2 million, which was really a great deal and a great opportunity. So we found the property. We made the offer that made sense to our underwriting. We kind of looked at the property and analyzed it. We knew we were going to need about $1 million of equity. Now, when you're raising money and you're going down the equity path, you're going to, looking for passive investors. Now, I'm not an SEC attorney. I'm not any kind of attorney. So I'm sharing with you my experiences with this project as an operator. Now, the way we approached this, we did file with the SEC. This was, we were looking for passive investors, obviously, to make this deal happen. We didn't go down the accredited investor path. We actually set it up that we were only going to work with non-accredited investors. So people that we had a pre-existing relationship with. Now, that's a whole other episode for another time. But really, the way we structured it was all pre-existing relationships. So really, that wasn't something where we can just go solicit, right? And put it on our website and say, hey, we got this deal that we want to raise for. This was, we had to kind of go to our network, we had to go to people that knew us, trusted us, liked us, and raise the money that way. People can argue one way or the other what the right strategy is for them, but that's the way we approach this. And before we get into the next learned lesson, let's hear a word from our sponsors. What I want to share with you in setting up this way, we had about 15 investors. And I want to be very clear on how we secured these investors, if you will, because they were all people that we had a pre-existing relationship with. But we kind of had a pre-existing relationship in a few different avenues, if you will. One was just our personal network. We had about 7 people in our personal network that invested with us. We had 4 that we really met through networking through BiggerPockets. My husband and I blogged for BiggerPockets for many, many, many years. And people would find us and connect with us. We'd have conversations with them. That's how we met 4 of them. The other 4 that we met, we developed a relationship because they saw the videos we're putting out. They reached out to us. We got into a conversation and connected. So there was a few ways that we had these relationships, but I really want to give you very specifics on what you need to do so that you can kind of build your relationships if that is the way you want to go in terms of raising money. And certainly that's the way we did it when we were looking to raise $1 million. And again, we did it with 15 investors. I think number one, as I look back and I have to really dissect it, number one, you really need to choose a platform and start sharing your journey, start sharing your story, start sharing your real estate projects with the world in the most authentic and real way, whether that's Instagram, whether that's Facebook, whether that's on TikTok, whether that's on LinkedIn. We chose YouTube. And at the time we said, okay, we're going to put out 2 videos a week and we're going to blog consistently on Bigger Pockets. So we can educate, we can share the learned lessons that we're getting from all the multifamily that we're involved in and hopefully help people along the way. And by doing that, you're really setting yourself up as someone who is a resource, and you're doing it in a way that kind of works for you. Whether you're an introvert, whether you're an extrovert, you want to do it in the way that works for you. And we were literally the most authentic people, and we are authentic people, as we could, and just being very real and like, yeah, this didn't work. This is the mistake we made, not just the success stories. So that's the first thing that we did in hindsight that really set us up for success in raising that 1 million. The second thing I'd say, the learned lesson, is that start writing blogs, start writing content for other communities that quite honestly have people that you want to develop a relationship with that could be private money partners for you. For us, we blogged and really did that, really went all in on Bigger Pockets and really did as much content contribution as we could. And that really differentiates you from everyone else just trying to make a quick buck. We were really always in it to educate and serve and share like the behind the scenes, like this is what we did, this is what didn't work, or this is what worked, and here's how you can do it too. That was always our approach. So that's the second thing I would do. In addition to choosing a platform, sharing your journey, sharing your projects in a very kind of real, authentic way, you really want to start writing content for other communities that quite honestly have people you want to develop that relationship with. And number three, I'd say a learned lesson is be consistent. I didn't realize how important this was. People trust, like, and respect people who are consistent. We tend to not trust people when there's a lack of consistency. So that is the key when you're really trying to develop that thought leadership and be a resource, is be consistent. We posted twice a week. We never missed a video. We never missed posting. I can say the same thing with Andres and I, as when we launched the Real Estate Investor Show, and here we are, you know, 400 episodes plus later. We've never missed an episode. We've never missed launching that episode. Consistency is key. So the last thing I want to share with you is, yes, you could be on social, consistent. You could be writing blogs for other communities that have people that would be ideal for you to work together in a private money perspective. You want to be consistent, of course. The fourth thing I'd say, though, is you really want to have a way for people to engage with you off social media, meaning do you have a newsletter? Is there something they can sign up for? And that's really important because you're developing your list. And these are people that trust, like, and respect you that are reaching out to you saying, I want to learn more from you. I want to hear what your predictions are for X, Y, and Z, whatever your niche is, whatever your specialty is. And, you know, they want to be led and they want to know you're ahead of them, meaning head, not financially, but ahead, meaning, hey, I'm doing this. I'm trying this. I'm having this success or this challenge. And here's what you can learn too. People really appreciate that. And that was one of the best things that we did as well. So we would be blogging on Bigger Pockets, we'd have our YouTube channel, and we'd always be sharing with them, hey, we'd invite them to sign up for our educational monthly newsletter. And that really helped develop our own community at the time. And then we were able to share with them what was coming up and get into that relationship with them. So those are my suggestions for you. Like anything, and any time we do minisodes, I want you to take one thing, one idea that you got from today's minisode. And here's the challenge. I want you to tag me in our Investor Facebook community. I will put the link in the show notes. And I want you to tag me saying, I really appreciated this idea, and this is the action I'm going to take, because that's what's going to move the needle on your financial freedom journey. Thanks for listening.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion, so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.